How many are reading through the Psalms, through the Bible in a year? Okay, and you've read Psalm 103 recently. What a fantastic psalm. And this is a psalm of David. And I want to spend just a few minutes this morning about this theme, because here we have a very special man of God, King David, one of the most important in all of the scriptures, who shares his heart with us. And there's some things we can learn, some simple truths. And from him, we all have a ton to learn. How many are glad there are examples in the scriptures that aren't you that you can learn from? How many are glad your life isn't pinned down for everybody to see forever? How many are glad? Come on. King David was a man of contrast, and you see them right there in the Bible. He was single-mindedly committed to God, but guilty of some of the most serious sins recorded in the Old Testament. He lived a frustrating life. He was in the shadow of his brothers, and then he was constantly on the run from a very vengeful and demonic King Saul. Even after he became king of Israel, David was always, almost constantly engaged in conflict, in constant warfare to defend the kingdom. King David was a great military conqueror, church, but he couldn't conquer himself. Come on. I said, King David was a great military conqueror, but he couldn't conquer himself. How many know that's right where the rub is? You can lead other people, you can organize, you can administrate, you can have so many gifts, but the real issue of where the rubber hits the road is, how am I personally doing? King David's life was an interesting series of enigmas. He was a great military conqueror, and yet allowed one night with Bathsheba from a spirit of lust and adultery to color the rest of his days, had disastrous consequences in his life. How many are glad you're on this side of the cross, where there's mercy and grace, but there's also consequences in our life. But most importantly, we have the grace and mercy of God. There's restoration power. There's healing from Jesus that's so available. And this is the man who fathered Solomon, one of Israel's greatest kings. But he was also the father to Absalom, whose rebellion brought bloodshed, heartache, and division to the kingdom. His life, David's life, was a roller coaster of emotional highs and lows. You feel that? Like when you read about the kings in the Old Testament, you read about David's life. You know these stories, and you see them coming, and maybe you're like me, you're sitting there in the scripture. No, don't do that! Don't do that! We have the privilege of seeing, in hindsight, what happened in his life. And Lord, let me be instructed from your word. He left us an example of passionate love for Jesus, for God. Dozens of psalms, some of the most beautiful, beautiful poetry ever written in human history was penned by the heart of David. He killed Goliath. He was the champion of the Philistines, and David killed him as a youthful man of faith. David was victorious because he trusted in God for the victory. He didn't trust in himself. Remember, you can just really picture it, can't you? When Saul puts his armor on this guy, and his armor is probably 9 feet tall, and you feel like there's a 5-foot David inside this thing. This ain't going to work. So you feel like you can let it live. And he killed a lot of enemies to Israel in battle. But despite all of that and standing strong, David had times where he fell. He became friends, great friends, with Jonathan, Saul's son. And what an example of a loyal family-friend relationship. He's included in Hebrews 11 in the Hall of Faith. In the Hall of Faith. He was the ancestor of Jesus. And most importantly, David was called by God himself a very special phrase. How many know what it is? He was the man after God's own heart. Now listen, I want to speak to hearts this morning. Do you see in any of the story I just shared a perfect David? Come on, how many see a perfect David? Do you see him being the guy who fulfilled every jot and tittle of God's law in the Old Testament? Come on, you see that? What you see is a guy just like you and me. Sometimes really a dork. Sorry.
Stumbling.
Having trouble.
Yeah.
Doing what we would call foolish things or just straight out stupid stuff. Come on, church. Have you ever done anything stupid?
Yeah.
Turn to each other and say, I know you have. Every finger in the place was pointed at me. I've got. I know you have. Because I stand up here every week and tell you about it. But do you hear? This man had such a New Testament picture of grace. Do you hear in the story of David, a man with foibles and problems and trouble, who was the man after God's own heart? God looks from heaven and says, will you stop that? But I love you. Ever like that with your kids? Come here. God loves you. Now, I have you say lots of things to each other, but one of the most important things I really want you to say this morning is look at each other and say, Jesus loves you. I want you to say it meaningfully. Come on, say it again. Say it back. And you can sometimes tell the stage of David's life in the Psalms. And as David aged as a man of God, he aged with a tenderness and a brokenness and a reality to his life. How many in this room know that real people need a real God for their real problems? And David, as he aged, wasn't such a hot shot, but he recognized, like you and me, you know, I've blown it. And when I rely on my own devices and I think I'm pretty hot stuff and I try to just walk this on my own, is when I make mistakes, is when I choose the wrong direction. And Lord, the longer I go, the more I know that I need you.
Amen.
The longer I go, the more I know that I need you. Can you say that with me? The longer I go, the more I know that I need you. You know, the old song says, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. How many know the longer I serve him, the sweeter, by the grace of God, I get? Some of you look at, I don't think that's true. The longer I serve him, the more I just realize how much I need him.
Yeah.
I want him. I so long. I'm just talking heart to heart with you this morning, okay? I just so long to live every day in the sweet sense of his presence. I don't know what tomorrow may hold. We live in an awfully safe place overall. And you think with brokenness of heart of the people in Nepal, and you think of the people who lost their lives to terrorism, and you think of the things that happen all around us all the time, and you go, Jesus, you're the only constant in this world of crazy. He's the only constant in this world of crazy. I am not hopeless. I'm not even hopeless about our job. I had big burdens on my heart the last 2 weeks. And I believe that was prophetic call for us for prayer to join in with thousands, millions of Christians around the planet. But in addition, when you hear me with that kind of a burden, don't ever think Kevin's lost all hope. I have great hope in Jesus. I know we have a big job and we're going to do it by the Spirit of God and by the grace of God. And Jesus is the only answer for the world today. So what are we going to do? We're going to look at Psalm 103 because there's several points I really want you to hold on to this morning. And I'll tell you the title at the end, and I hope it's something you hold on to. And Pat, you get a morning off. Psalm 103, if you'll turn to Psalm 103, if you're not there yet, please turn. I want you to see it in your own Bible. I'll be reading from the New King James. I'll read from a couple of different translations a little bit or refer to them. But Psalm 103, and I'm going to start with verses 1 through 5. And the point number one, if you're taking notes, is remember. Say it with me. Remember. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, He says again, verse 2. Forget not all His what? All His benefits. Who, say it with me, forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hey, there's a promise for this church. Youth renewed like the eagles. That's the grace of God. And David both begins and ends this psalm with an instruction to his own soul. Come on, soul. Bless the Lord because He's worthy of our praise. God created you and me, and He wants to hear us bless Him. Come on, say it with me. Bless the Lord. One more time. Lift your hands as we say it. Bless the Lord. God created us, and He wants to hear from us. Remember, He created Adam and Eve. Before the fall, what did they do? They would walk with Him in the cool of the day and commune with Him. I believe God loved that time. How many of you think that God's heart was grieved when all of a sudden He came for that time and Adam and Eve were hiding out in shame because of sin? You can hear the heart of God when He says, who told you you were naked? They had the glory of God on them. Sin caused them to lose that glory. They were naked and ashamed instead of naked and not ashamed. So God provides for them, covers them. But that cool of the day kind of communion. Pastor Sherry, you talked about it this morning, being braided together with God. The heart of God is that His people come and bless Him and spend time with Him and entwine themselves with Him. Lift your voice and bless the Lord. Say it again. Bless the Lord. Raise your hands as you say it again. Bless the Lord. When your day has gone every which way but right, remember, do what David said. Remember God. Remember, soul. Bless the Lord. Because no matter how my life goes, He's unchangeable and He's still there. The Hebrew literally means here, when it says remind yourself to bless Him, the Hebrew literally means don't be oblivious, forget not to praise Him. Don't be oblivious of what He's done. Don't want for memory or attention to what He's done. Ever leave your coat somewhere and you can't find it? Ever lose something and you can't find it? Anybody like me, when that happens, just pleasant. Isn't it frustrating? One of the biggest time wasters, those have changed, the 10 top time wasters over the years, the biggest one, and one of them consistently every year, is looking for lost stuff. And it's just so frustrating. But don't lay aside your gratitude for God and walk away from it. Don't lay Him and your relationship aside and walk away from Him and get involved in life and just forget Him. But bless the Lord, who is worthy at all times of our praise. And remind yourself, daily He gives you benefits. Forget not His benefits. Don't lay Him aside. Don't forget His, the Hebrew literally means His treatment, His service, and what He's done. Now, can I ask you an honest question here this morning? Has Jesus done anything for you? All right, what does He do? What are we to remember? Remember, the overall theme here is remember. Remember to what? Remember. Number one, He forgives your sins. That's what the Scripture says. No matter what, no matter who, no matter when, God can forgive you of any sin. God is fantastic. Now, I know the Bible says there's an unforgivable sin. And most people relate that to attributing to the devil the works of the Holy Spirit, where you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. But I've always heard it this way. When people are concerned about, have I committed the unpardonable sin? The very fact you have ever been concerned about that is good proof that you haven't. So that's something to hold on to. But no matter what, God can forgive you. And from a broken heart and a broken spirit and tender heart, when you say, Lord, forgive me, thank God He pardons you. You're all pardoned by the grace of God this morning. And Jesus took your punishment. 10 lepers were healed by Jesus. How many turned around to give Him praise? Church, let's overwhelm that number. Let's be those who turn around and praise Him. Forget not all His benefits. Remember, He forgives your sins. Number two, He heals your diseases, it says. He forgives, He heals you on the inside and out. Now, do you understand that the retirement program for Christians in eternity someday is incredible? Even if business has changed all around you and plans are being thrown out, God's retirement plan is pretty incredible, church. Sometimes we all know folk who have not been supernaturally healed in this life, but I guarantee you, when they go on to see Jesus face to face, they are restored and healed. There's a promise that our Jesus is the healer. He heals your diseases. Now, we have no conflict, just an aside, we have no conflict with medical doctors in this church. We're grateful for medicine and medical doctors and things like that. We always first go to Jesus with prayer. And how many know that medicine can't heal you if God's not going to supernaturally work on that body anyway? So we're going to give thanks to our doctors and give praise to God, okay? So God is great. He redeems, number three, your life from destruction. How many are glad you're not set for destruction here this morning? Man, say it with me. I'm glad. I'm not going to get destroyed. He redeems you. And the oriental law of redemption and kinship, what it meant when you were next of kin, you're the one, when somebody died, that you could buy back their property, or there was a law of redemption where you would marry the widow. Because in that day, in those days in the Old Testament, when the widow was made by the husband dying, that woman was impoverished. That family was impoverished. And it was God's way to say, we're going to take care of our own and the family of God. There's redemption that takes place. Thank God Jesus redeemed you and me from sin and stepped in and took our place. He crowns you, the Bible says. He crowns you with love, kindness, and tender mercy. He encircles you with His love. He makes you His own. The devil throws accusations at you. The book of Revelation says, how often is the devil accusing the brethren? Day and night. All the time. And when the devil wants to accuse you, what do you need to say? I'm crowned with the grace of God. I'm washed by the blood of Jesus. I belong to Jesus. Get out in Jesus' name. We need to not listen to it. Sometimes when I go wrong into wrong thoughts, my wife's been saying to me today, or these last few days, she'll say to me, she says, all right, you're listening to the Jebusites, because those Old Testamentites had meanings to their name. You're listening to the Jebusites. Don't call bad what God has called good. Someone say amen. Amen. When God has made you clean, you're clean indeed. When God has washed you clean, you're clean indeed. Someone say, thank God.
Thank God.
Man, aren't you glad? Yeah. So why would we listen to the garbage the devil wants to throw? When our Jesus walks up and says, whoa, 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 whoa. I put a crown on you. I put a crown on you. Around the world, there's a baby watch. And Kate went home with a little baby yesterday. That little baby, though you don't see it, is wearing a crown. And how many know there's security that's tight? You can't even get in to touch that little baby. You can't even get a picture snapped unless they release the picture. How many of you know your Jesus is watching over going, don't touch my kid. The Lord watches over us. He's crowned us with His goodness and with His grace. And He's satisfied. We're all talking about remember. We need to remember these things, David says. He satisfies us and renews our youth. When you know His mercy and forgiveness, your life is renewed. When the devil accuses you and you know he has to flee, and you thank God for mercy and grace, it's all renewing your youth like the eagles. You feel like you can fly again. Have you ever had a time like that in your life where you're really messed up on the job or you really blew it badly and someone forgave you or the boss forgave you, gave you a pass and said, okay, we'll get through this. And when you leave that day, you go, oh, thank God. I worked at a radio station in my first year out of college, and oh boy, the Lord was dealing with my pride right and left, because I thought I was hot stuff. And I was sort of donkin. And the Lord was breaking me and breaking me. I couldn't do anything right. And then the Lord restored and things went incredibly, but I couldn't do anything right. I kept, you know, the radio station has a jingle, KRPL, you know, all those kinds of, that was the name of my AM radio station back in Eastern Washington. And in the old days, you pick up what's called these cartridges. We called them carts for short. We have our own lingo and everything. You pop them into the cart player. You between your banter and you play it and out comes the commercial, or you play it and out comes the jingle. And I kept pushing erase. I erased the jingles of that radio station at least 3 times. And the third time, I remember calling you guys saying, oh my God, pray for me. They're going to fire me for sure. And I saw next door the managers get together and one guy just popped a top. You could see he turned beet red from ear to ear. Oh. The other guy came in, thank God the main guy came in, started to laugh. Called me into his office later and he looks at me and goes, well, Kevin, you know, the way we really feel about it is you're kind of our comedy relief out here. Just what I wanted, graduated with honors, top of my class, and I wanted to be this little tiny radio station's comic relief. But the Lord used that to break me and break me and break me and break me until finally I remember them giving me my 2 weeks' notice. And I remember Pastor Carl saying to me, Kevin, who are you working for? Have you forgotten that you're working for Jesus? And then he said something that was particularly cruel. He said, aren't you glad to find out now this isn't where you're destined to work for your career? A man of kind words. Actually, he was. He was very loving. You all knew it. But it caused me to hit my knees in repentance. And I realized, Lord, I'm trying to impress people and I'm doing a terrible job at it and you're dealing with me. And I resign from trying to impress people anymore. I'm here to please you. And so they gave me my 2 week notice at the end of 2 weeks. I was so free from that moment on. I was free. I didn't care. And all of a sudden, you know what happens when you're free? You can start working again with some skill and anointing. And everything went up, 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 up. They called me back in 2 weeks. They said, we don't know what you did with the other guy. Things are completely different. What'd you do? I said, I just gave it to Jesus. And the Lord blessed me and went on to have quite a career by the grace of God in that small little town. But who are you doing these things for? And when we remember him, he gets us through it. And he satisfies our soul. And when you know you're forgiven, and that's what the point was, when you know you're forgiven, I left the building that day, the radio station that day, going, you are God, and I'm not. Listen to it out of the Message, verses 1 through 5. Watch it on your own, but I'll read it out of the Message. A David psalm. Oh, my soul, bless God. From head to toe, I'll bless his holy name. I love that. From head to toe, I'll bless his holy name. Oh, my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. He forgives your sins, every one. He heals your diseases, every one. He redeems you from hell, saves your life. He crowns you with love and mercy, a paradise crown. He wraps you in his goodness, beauty, eternal. He renews your youth. You're always young in his presence. Don't you love that? Come on, say that with me. That's the Message. You're always young in his presence. Now turn to each other, say, even you. All right, so remember, number two. So first is remember with several subpoints. Number two, his ways. His ways. Watch, Psalm 103, 6 through 16. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Listen carefully to this verse, verse 7. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. You hear the difference? He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Listen to this list. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He'll not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Did you get that, church? He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as, and this is a verse to memorize if you don't have this memorized. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. What an incredible verse. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, it's gone. Its place remembers it no more. Bottom line, life's pretty quick, gang. Life on this earth, pretty quick. His ways, the word ways in the Hebrew, literally means a road, as trodden. It's a figurative word for the course of life, his mode of action. Moses knew God's mode of action, God's method of operation, His M.O., God's course of life, the road God would take, Moses knew. Israel was content to sit back and say, you go spend time with God, you come and tell us what He says, you go do it. And Moses had to meet with Him face to face, got to meet with Him, wanted to meet with Him face to face. And God says, okay, you're going to know who I am. How are you going to meet God? Spend time in His Word. Spend time with Him. But if it's just saying, somebody else go and come back and tell me, you're never going to know the ways of God. Moses knew his character. He understood his life. He understood and he could see sometimes the why of what God would do. And got a deeper understanding because he met with God. You ever notice that people can get critical? All right, if somebody gets critical of your spouse, does that upset you? The normal response is yes. And sometimes the person who got, you know, you and the person who was mad at you, you got it all worked out, and the spouse doesn't know that. And so you bring that person over, and the spouse says, why are you bringing that person to this house? Because they didn't know things got worked out. Sometimes our spouses, who love us so much, hear about the thing we might have made a mistake on. And other people judge us just for the action. But our spouses know the person. I know my spouse's ways. I know that's not in their heart. I know they're not given to that. They don't hate you. You know, whatever it is, we get defensive because we know the deeper. Who is He? Who is God? What does He do? We want to get to know His ways. He's merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. Man, be grateful, church. This is a New Testament revelation on grace that's being poured out by the character of God. You see, God isn't different in the Old Testament. He always wanted people to know Him this way. Because you find out Moses saw Him. Remember when he passed in front of him, his back passed in front of him. But remember the words that were being spoken. The Lord is gracious, merciful, loving, kindness. All of this same kind of thing. God is constantly saying, here's who I am. Here's how I want to be with my people. He hasn't dealt with us according to our sins. And we deserve judgment and don't get it. Someone say, thank God. Sin separated as far as the east is from the west. And when we try to retrieve it and become ashamed or the devil throws it back at us, we get to say, no, wait a minute. That sin is long gone. Hallelujah. We're forgiven. God takes pity on us. Remember His ways. And point number three, forever. I want you to say the title of the message with me, all 3 points. Remember His ways forever. Say it again. Remember His ways forever. And this week, when you leave this place and you have a stumbling occasion, a frustrating occasion, a time where you don't know what's going on, I want you to look at one another. You see each other somewhere. Encourage each other by looking lovingly and say, hey, remember His ways forever. Our days are short, but God's days are forever. Psalm 103, 17 to 22, verses 17 to 22. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven. His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Is that you this morning? How many here in this room are ministers of God who do the pleasure of God? So bless the Lord, he's telling us. Bless the Lord, angels. Bless the Lord, people. Bless the Lord, verse 22, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord. And he brings it right back down in the last words of this psalm, just exactly the way he starts out. He's walking around. You can just see David, man. He's worked up and he said, okay, everybody in heaven, you bless the Lord. Okay, everybody on earth, you who are with God, bless the Lord. And those of you who are ministers, come on, bless the Lord. And he goes, oh, I'm not going to leave me out. You bless the Lord, oh my soul. Because he is so worthy of my praise. Has Jesus done anything for you today? Anything? Has he helped you? Has he loved you? Has he forgiven you? Has he had mercy on you? Bless the Lord, church. Bless the Lord. Out of the message, God's love, though, is ever and always eternally present to all who fear him. Make everything right for them and their children as they follow his covenant ways and remember to do whatever he said. God has set his throne in heaven. He rules over us all. He's the king. He's the king. So David reminded himself of the truth. And that's what this psalm's all about. He declared it. He remembered it. He rehearsed it. He shared it. He wrote it. He exclaimed it. He examined it. What does it do for him? Makes him want to bless God even more. So bless God, you angels, the message, 20 through 22. Ready and able to fly at his bidding, quick to hear and do what he says. Bless God, all you armies of angels, alert to respond to whatever he wills, verse 22. Bless God, all creatures, wherever you are, everything and everyone made by God. And you, oh my soul, bless God. Stuff happens all the time. Earthquakes, devastation. My heart's grieving for these people. ISIS, cancer, untimely deaths, accidents. But God is still good all the time. And all the time, God is good. This morning, let's join David and remember God's ways forever. Remember his ways forever. God is good. And all the time. God is good. And all the time. As we close, I want to just remind you of a couple of things I've read that you might not have heard. In Nepal, at a particular location, a pastor of about 600 in this one congregation, the earthquake devastated their church. They were on the fourth floor and the ceiling collapsed. And the pastor had come there out of a military career, saved and radically redeemed by God. And he had started, I believe it was like 60 churches. He had a big vision, relatively young man. And he was going to die and did. And his last words were, "Death is near for me, but you," speaking to others with him, "will be rescued. And the Holy Spirit will give you power to continue your ministry." Another man standing close by who overheard his pastor, or laying close by, overheard him, said, "If I come out of this alive, I'm going to serve God all the rest of my life." With his passing, the associate pastor rose up, is now going to lead the church. And there they are in the devastation of Nepal, and they've declared, "We're going to plant 777 churches for Jesus Christ right here in the midst of this country." Another story in Niger. where after the cartoons that were released, remember, and the Muslims began to really hit a tirade about it, 69 churches in this one community were burned. 69. And they terrorized the offices of Christians, and not every Muslim joined in by any means. This one pastor tells the story of Muslims lining up in front of the church to protect the church when this was going on, because they were saying, this is not who we are. Until the weaponry became so strong, the pastor begged those people to please step aside, let them enter the church. And they burned it to the ground. Church after church, 69 churches, 11 homes, 80 Christian buildings within a few hours. In another city, the second largest city, 45 churches destroyed. 3 months later, the government hasn't arrested a single person. Rioters also targeted Christian schools. One school was home to 240 students, most of them Muslim. When a spirit of chaos takes over, foolishness occurs. You've seen it. Where the people in these cities are begging. They live there. This is their town. Stop doing this. It's going to take them years to recover from some of the stuff that's been done. And it just happens sometimes. The Muslim mob wrote on the blackboard, and I really will come to a close. They left this message, wrote it all over these blackboards. There is no God but God, and the Prophet Muhammad is his messenger. And they kept shouting, Allah Akbar. The pastor's wife stood holding her burned up Bible, that's all she had, and stated forgiveness for those who were doing it. And she said, and the pastor said, our hope and prayer is that they'll come to know Jesus. Jesus is Lord, and that he would touch them in a dream even as the Lord is doing. I want God to do to them what he did to Paul the apostle when he persecuted Christians. God touched him on the way to Damascus. Listen to his spirit and their spirits. I want these men to experience the same God that we know. And I know that he can do it. And they said this, the Lord is training us. He is building us. The threats haven't subsided, but this pastor says, I'm all right with that. He believes God is preparing them, and he said, there cannot be increase without hardships. If you want to go to the next level, you have to go through hardships, and we forgive them. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You want to keep your spirit right? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You want to keep your heart right when you go through suffering? Come on, bless the Lord, oh my soul. You want to have your heart right when you go through times of temptation, you go through times of illness, because it happens to all of us. You lose a family member that you love to illness, somebody dies, somebody has an accident, times are frustrating, technology doesn't work right in the office. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not all his benefits, for he is the one who has redeemed and forgiven and given mercy. Remember his ways forever. Stand with me, would you please? Father, we thank you for your mercy, your grace, your loving kindness. Thank you, Lord, that you're working with each of us to help us remember that you're in charge no matter what happens. And that's not always easy. But Lord, David reminds us, the man after God's own heart reminds us to remember your ways forever and to bless the Lord, oh my soul. Lord, I pray your blessing on your people as we go from this place today. Help us continue to remember. Forget not the great benefits of the Lord. To remember your ways forever. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy to us and your loving kindness in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Be blessed, church. Go out with the joy of the Lord in Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen.